U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Congressional negotiators reach a tentative budget deal to avoid another government shutdown. Will President Trump agree? Plus, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar is the latest Democrat to announce that she is running for president. What are realistically her chances? Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal Opinion Pages. Delighted to be with you here with my colleagues, Kim Strassel. Hello, Kim.
Hello, Paul.
And next to me here in the studio, Bill McGurn. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Paul.
So let's start with the budget deal. The appropriators in the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, agreeing to a deal that gives the president some $1.38 million or so, I guess, billion, I guess it is, to build some new fencing and for border security measures. 55 miles, I gather, of new border fencing, most of which will go into the Texas Rio Grande area around El Paso, I gather. So the president has not decided whether he's going to embrace this, although Republicans are urging him to. Mitch McConnell said warm things about it, Kim, this week, said it's a good deal. President gets some more wall. And, of course, the Republicans in Congress are desperate to avoid another shutdown.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly the way to look at it. In my view, this ought to be a situation where the president declares victory and moves on. It isn't the number that he had been demanding, but it's $1.38 billion, 55 miles. He can say that he's making a start on some more barrier building, go down there and stand there as the cranes start to roll. Republicans seem to have gotten what they wanted on this, generally on this other demand about the number of beds that ICE has available to it for people that it takes into custody. Those numbers are a little bit more confusing. Different news outlets are reporting various different provisions, but it does not seem to be something that Republicans can't live with. So, yeah, in my mind, I think the president, I guess he could stand firm on this number, but why not say, look, they said we weren't getting a dime, and in fact, we're getting money. We don't want another shutdown. Victory, let's move on to the next fight.
Well, especially, Bill, because I don't think that he can sustain politically another long shutdown.
I don't know. What I think would happen, though, is he would split his party because people would especially in the Senate, I think, head south and go the other way. Kim might disagree. I think he's inclined to accept the deal, but he may then accompany it by announcing he's going to get money from other sources. Mick Mulvaney sort of hinted at that, to build the wall with that. Or he
the
might
White
do
House
the,
Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney.
Right. Or he might go the military route. There's a lot of different things he could do. But I do think it'd be wise. Look, Reagan's rule as a union negotiator, get part of what you want and then come back the next day. You know, pocket your gains and move on. And that really is how you're supposed to do things in Washington.
Well, one of the things on his mind is probably the opposition from some on the talk radio TV host, right, Sean Hannity, interrupting the president's appearance in El Paso, which Fox was running to announce that this is a garbage deal. And, of course, others on the restrictionist right saying that this is a bad deal. But my reaction to that is, what world are you living in? I mean, it's simply you have to deal with the facts as they are. Another shutdown is going to hurt the president. It's going to hurt the Republicans in Capitol Hill, number one. Number two, if you declare a national emergency, which he has talked about, I think the House and the Senate are likely to both pass resolutions that overrule him. The president could veto those that resolution, but that is still looks bad politically. And an emergency would also be enjoined I think, he certainly be challenged in court and may very well be enjoined by a court. So he will then have set a bad precedent politically by declaring this an emergency without the support of Congress, and he gets nothing for it.
Well, and those people aren't on the ballot. So very different set of calculations, and that's something the president ought to take into mind. Now, at the moment we're speaking, he's meeting with his cabinet. And this was this cabinet meeting had already been arranged to talk about other things, but no doubt this will be a topic of discussion, and we'll see what the people around him are advising, and we should get some remarks soon after that. But I think what you point out, Paul, is important, is that if you're going to go down the road of saying no, you have to look at least at what your ultimate outcomes can be. What path is there in the end to fixing this? And you just mentioned the problems of going down the road of a national emergency. You can go down the road again of a shutdown and see how long you can sustain that. But in the end, it was Republican pressure and pressure on the White House that made them decide to agree to temporarily open the government again. So I don't necessarily see a different outcome this time. The only outcome is that this time the Republicans who negotiated this have now made their best faith effort. And if the president dismisses it, they won't be inclined to try again. But they may, in fact, overrule him as well and simply pass budget bills over his veto.
And entirely possible. And I also think that they this isn't the end of the story. Obviously, he's still got another couple of years left. He could get more money in future years and appropriations, depending on his priorities. And he could still say, look, the Democrats don't want to give me any more, and use it as a political issue if he wants. I think the problem he created for himself, in my view, politically, was making such a focus on the wall that it detracts from other things he might want to get done and wants to get done, could get done on immigration. And then the Democrats say, well, since he wants that so much, we're not going to give it to him. Right. And you end up putting him he walks himself into a box canyon.
Well, that's a dynamic. Look, he's not going to back off on the wall. It was his signature theme of his campaign. But look, these deals, generally in a deal, each side gets a little. He got some money for his wall. He kind of seemed to have stared them down on the beds issue and so forth. The Democrats, meanwhile, can say we didn't give him anywhere near the $5.7 billion that he wanted. I mean, generally, that's not an unreasonable thing where each side gets something that they want. I agree with you. I think he should take this. I also believe, and I watched part of the rally last night, I'm not so sure that the critics, the celebrity critics, the talk show
on the right, you mean?
On the right, really can carry the base the way Trump. If you watch those people, they're enjoying themselves with President Trump. They trust President Trump. If he said he was for a deal, I'm not so sure they're going to go against it. I mean, there might be a few that rail against it and call the president a sellout. But I think he has that crowd. I think he can do it. Reagan, that was one thing Reagan had. He did have his base, and he knows whatever the criticisms, I can go out there and talk to them. And I think Trump could. And I think, as you say, I think he has a reasonable case. I didn't get everything, but I'm moving forward.
We're talking about the budget compromise on Capitol Hill and Amy Klobuchar's run for the White House. And you're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of The Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with The Wall Street Journal with Bill McGurn and Kim Strassel. Let's turn to the Democratic race with its never-ending list of new entrants. This week, Amy Klobuchar, Minnesota Democratic senator, two-term senator, very popular in her home state, won every single county in the state, even Michelle Bachmann's county district when she ran this last time. That's a pretty good achievement in a state which has competitive elections. And she is going to run for president. She's not well known nationally, but She is someone who's known as somebody who can get along with Republicans. The striking thing is Republicans saying very nice things, Bill, about her and the ability to work with them. And privately, I talked to a number of them who say the very same thing. On the other hand, she seems to have a bad reputation for mistreating her staff. Stories that have come out this week, I think probably planted stories with the help of her competitors. Anonymous former aides
right.
complaining about how rough she was, had a temper, and so on. It's hard to know what to make of that when nobody puts their name on as a source on those things. I guess you could say that there's probably some fire there, but how much and to the extent that it is really significant to a potential president, I think something for the voters to decide as more information comes out. My own view of her is that she's an appealing political character. I think she's got a nice temperament. Maybe it's because I grew up in Wisconsin, but I like her style.
The throwing binders, or the what was it? The nice,
the Minnesota nice, and I like the fact that you know she is somebody who I think, and after a, you know, particularly, I mean, it wouldn't be bad actually to have. I mean, she's a liberal, no question. But as liberals go, she hasn't endorsed a lot of the crazier ideas like Medicare for all and let's abolish ICE and things like that.
Well, Paul, I think she had an excellent shot until you probably killed it by saying nice things about her in a Wall Street Journal editorial that got the hackles up. Look, she's appealing in this way. The Democratic Party as a whole right now is in resistance mode. It's, you know, they don't even want to get what they want to get. They want to just hurt Donald Trump. And she's not, that's her distinctive feature. As you say, she's liberal, but she's not in that mode. She's willing to compromise to get things she wants and do it. That makes her incredibly distinctive in this field that may expand to like 30 candidates.
Oh, God,
right?
Spare us.
Right. But I mean, look, when you're running among 30, you want to be distinctive. You don't want to just blend into it. So she fits some of the identity politics as a woman candidate and so forth. So she has enough on the liberal side. The problem, I think, is just in her party, which is in resistance mode. I just don't know where she gets enough votes. Now, it's possible if everyone else gets 6% of the votes, you know, there are 20 other candidates. They get 4% or something, and she then gets 8%. But I think it's going to be hard for her in her own party to get. And that's true of the nominations process. And but you know, primaries tend to be more ideological than general elections and so forth. So,
all true. But Kim, if you are a Democrat who Democratic voter who definitely wants to oust Donald Trump, you're also going to be looking for a candidate who has a chance to do that. And Klobuchar comes from the upper Midwest, which the Democrats need to get. They need to win Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, maybe Pennsylvania. Second, she is popular in her state. Third, she's a contrast with Trump's temperament. She's more soft-spoken. Some Democrats might say is she tough enough to take down Donald Trump? On the other hand, it might be that voters like that in a contrast after 4 years of Donald Trump's constant turmoil.
Maybe. And she has certainly tried to, whether it's legitimately her personality or whether or not she's tried to hone that personality. We saw it on display, for instance, during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings when some of her colleagues were ever more outrageous up on the Senate committee there. You know, she tried to look more reasonable in some of the questions she asked, and that certainly made an impression, I think, on some people who were watching. But I think the problem for her is that, look, outside of Minnesota, pretty much nobody knows her. So that's one problem that she has. And two, I just don't know that the folks that are going to be most animated to come out in these primaries on the Democratic side want someone who describes themselves as pretty pragmatic. You know, that might be appealing to middle of the road voters. It might even be appealing to those that desperately want to oust Trump and are thinking strategically about how you do that. Mm-hmm. But remember, a great number of Democrats, they think that Trump is toast no matter what, and that the only question is who you elect within your party to then be president. And so much of the energy is on the side of the progressives who do want Medicare for all, and they do want the Green New Deal, and they do want gun control restrictions, and they do want all of these things that Amy Klobuchar is not necessarily a standard bearer for.
So that would argue for throwing caution, political caution, to the wind in terms of ideology and just embracing the most leftward platform you can, because in fact, if Trump is doomed, then let's go for broke. Let's go for everything.
Aren't we already seeing that? And didn't Amy Klobuchar endorse the Green Deal?
She did. She did endorse the Green New Deal. That's true. But I want to just make this distinction. Democrats have tried that strategy that I just laid out. It's called George McGovern against Richard Nixon, who a lot of Democrats thought was vulnerable in 1972. And when you went too far left, it didn't work. Now, Trump is more vulnerable than Nixon ever was, because he hasn't yet shown that he can put together a majority coalition. On the other hand, one way they could lose this election is if they move too far left.
Right. But no one seems to think that's the fear right now. That's why the pressure would be interesting to watch her, because, again, if she wants to define herself, it needs to be by your differences from all the other candidates. And I think she could. I think it's possible to define yourself as a liberal, but someone that's not innately hostile to the free market and so forth, an environmentalist, same thing, maybe a little more modest on social issues. But, you know, you don't have to do the full infanticide embrace as the Virginia governor did, or sort of Andrew Cuomo. So I think it could be done if they did. Look, Bill Clinton did that, didn't he? He resurrected, and we could say some of it was phony, but some of it was real. He was a governor of Arkansas. He understood the need for investment and so forth. And until he got himself in trouble, he was leading his party in a different direction.
Well, and I think that Amy Klobuchar has felt pressure to move left of the kind you described, Bill, because, and Kim described, because she did embrace the Green New Deal, which would not this week, which she probably felt, I couldn't disagree with Medicare for all and ICE and say I'm not for the Green New Deal. Also, I think a lot of the Democrats talking about the Green New Deal hope that it isn't every jot and tittle of what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ed Markey laid out next week, though I think that Republicans, if they're smart, will take every word of that document, put it up on the Senate floor and say, let's have a vote.
Absolutely.
But so we'll see if this is going a little too far for her. But maybe she feels she needs to do that to win the nomination, Kim.
Well, look, in terms of the pressure she feels, I would point that she went on Rachel Maddow, I believe it was yesterday.
I saw that interview. Yep. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah. And specifically was asked, look, people are learning about you for the first time. Do you want to be described as more of a moderate or a centrist Democrat in this field? And Amy Klobuchar said, absolutely not. They should see me. I'm a progressive. Mm-hmm. Watch me go. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think Bill's got a really good point that in a big field, it is great to point out your distinctions. And this ought to be Amy Klobuchar's selling point. But if she's not going to sell it for herself, I think that tells you something about where she views the more beating heart of the party at the moment.
So as this primary unfolds with so many voices, I think that that there are going to be some moments where individuals are going to have to who do not have a automatic following, like a Joe Biden with name recognition, right, or Bernie Sanders who ran before, or Elizabeth Warren who has been really well known in the party and has carved out a position on the left. For other people in the race, and that's most of the candidates, they're going to have to find a moment where they electrify the primary electorate or stand out. Right. And debate might be one of those moments. If they can raise a lot of money online somehow would be one of those moments. Or if they somehow find themselves in a way that they can take on President Trump, right, or on a congressional hearing, that's where they're going to have to make a name for themselves and stand out.
Right. And in the course of a campaign, there, you know, we're looking at the candidates almost like you look at football cards or something. We look at their statistics. We know who's good, what their strengths are. But in a game, anything can happen. And so it's not unreasonable for people, even if they're unknown, to think, you know what? I have a chance. Maybe the top guy will stumble. And that happens all the time. I remember in one of the Republican debates on Obamacare, Tim Pawlenty was asked by the narrator, you've been going around calling this Oromnicare, right? And I think he was right to do so. And would you say that to the governor now? And he stammered and stumbled and he wouldn't repeat it. So he looked weak because he was saying this stuff on the trail, but not to Romney. I think if he had stuck to his guns and explained what he meant, he might have been a viable contender, but as he dropped out. But all sorts of people that look good, you know, in statistics can have a bad day or a gaffe that just dooms them. So why not? If you're waiting there, maybe you survive.
All right. It's going to be fascinating to watch as more enter the race. And we do have more coming where Bernie Sanders may get in. Joe Biden may get in. Sherrod Brown, the senator from Ohio, may get in. Now we might get two Colorado candidates, former Governor John Hickenlooper and Michael Bennett, the current senator. So buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Bill. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with another edition of Potomac Watch on Wednesday.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.